our message today, and I think it's so appropriate. Debbie had requested us, if we could, have Amazing Grace today as one of our songs, because Aunt Rosie has gone on to be with the Lord, and she wanted to celebrate that as one of the songs here today, Amazing Grace. But I went ahead and also had a stirring to title our message today, Amazing Grace. And I can truthfully say, as I look on our audience here today, and I don't know about you that may be listening, look at yourself in the mirror. If you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're looking at Amazing Grace. And I can't comprehend how a soul that has given their life to Jesus Christ is not an amazement to His unfathomable grace that has been shed upon them through the sacrifice that is given to Jesus Christ. And I want to share some things with you here in the book of 2 Peter, verse 1, and we're going to look at some things that have to do with grace here. And let's look at these scriptures first. And we could be here for a year talking about God's amazing grace and the grace of God, because it's just, it's unfathomable. If you want to know what grace is, if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, then experience it. Sometimes you can't define it, but you can experience it. So grace has been shed upon me. And I thank God for that. I thank God that there's come a point in my life when I let go and let God and let His grace be shed upon me. I did not take and I did not look or shun Jesus Christ or take the life that was given for me in vain. I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. So amazing, amazing, amazing grace. It's incredible what God has done for us. And that's why the song, whether it's bagpipes or a congregation singing Amazing Grace, it means a lot to me. And the words mean a lot to me. And I'll share those with you in just a few moments. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to read just some scriptures here. 2 Peter 1 through 8. And then share some things here out of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, I love this, comma, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Talk about unanimity. When we come to Jesus, we are one family, and we receive that faith in unity, that same faith, that same Jesus Christ, that same bond, and that same sacrifice given for all of us. In verse 2, grace, 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 and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How many of you know, having given your life to Jesus Christ, you entered school, you entered class, you enter a discipline? And so there needs to be a multiplicity of things in your life, not just stopping to say, yeah, Jesus, I accept His Lord my Savior when I was 12 years old. And I go to church and I do all these things, and I give and I tithe and I try to be nice to my neighbor and all these things. But He's talking and He's speaking by the Spirit, is unctioned by the Spirit, that things need to be multiplied. How many of you feel the multiplication effect in your life, that you are growing? Pilgrim's progress, not digress, or you're going to have a bad hair day. I know that. You're going to have times when you wish you wouldn't have said what you said. I know that. But God's grace is there. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And God's not going to throw you out just because you've just been a little bad attitude a given day, or you had a bad hair day or whatever. You said some things you shouldn't have said, or thought some things you shouldn't have thought. God is greater than your bad attitude. God is greater than your attitude. God is greater than that. His grace does not stop because you have a hiatus sometimes in your walk with Him. He doesn't stop. I mean, to know that, to me, is very, very powerful, to know that He's not through with me yet. should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God's going to forgive me. I can just do what I want to do. Let grace abound. God forbid. How should we that have died to Christ, die to that life, still live that way any longer? So we know there are going to be failures, but we also know we don't stop when we do. God's grace is there, unmerited favor of God. And so grace and peace goes along with that. Peace goes along with grace. Be multiplied to you. How many of you have lived in any turbidity lately when there's been things that haven't been real peaceful around you? I mean, not everything is smooth all the time. Not everything is just rosy all the time. Not everything is just peaceful all the time. But the Lord is saying, you know, you take this to heart. Allow my grace and peace be multiplied to you, because there's a lot to be learned. There's a lot more to be received. And the more of the Lord in us, the less junk there's going to be in us. Junk out, life in. More junk in and life out. It doesn't work that way. So make room for the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life. And verse 3, seeing that His divine power granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. There's a lot of knowledge out there, but not all of it's true. How many of you want truth? You want truth to pierce you, to get into the inner recesses of the inner recesses of the inner recesses. You want true knowledge. I do. Lord, speak to me. When I lay my head down at night, when I rise up, Lord, I want revelation. I want truth. I want Your truth in me to come out. I want to bleed Jesus. I want to live Jesus. I want to be the man You called me to be. I want that for my children. I pray for my children every day. Lord, be with them. Hold them close to Your bosom, Lord. Hold them close to Your intimacy, Lord. Bring them to You. I can't do that, but I can pray for that to happen. I can pray it for this body here, for that to happen. For Jesus and the true knowledge of Jesus, the understanding of Jesus, beyond the Buddhists and beyond the Muslims and beyond the Confucianists and beyond all those the New Age people out there. We want truth on the inner man, and we want it to come out. And you're going to see I have a theme that I received from the Lord for next year. You're going to see that God is doing a work, and He's going to take these themes and use them for His glory. He's not playing games. He's not playing our game. We have to do it His way. True knowledge. How many of you hunger and thirst after the true knowledge of God? I mean, that has to be a daily thing. Hunger and thirst. True knowledge of the Lord. And it says in verse 4, for by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of what? What's your Bible say?
Divine nature.
Jesus was the embodiment of the divine nature. Jesus was the embodiment of grace. Jesus was the embodiment of peace. Jesus was the embodiment of God on earth. The divine nature of God can be us, ours. It says so right here. I mean, that's Joseph got excited about. We heard a testimony about my son-in-law getting excited about, guess what God did? You remember what he said? Guess what God did? Guess what I read in the Bible, what God did? And he was excited about it. He moved time backwards, and he was excited about that. I said to Shirley, it reminds me of the person who said, I have heard of you, of the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen thee. You can hear about him all your life and all the Sunday school classes and all the Bible studies and everything, but you can hear about Jesus via somebody else. But when you know Him yourself, now I know Him. I've seen Him myself. The eyes of my heart, I know Jesus. Wow.
It says, for by these he has granted to us, verse 4, his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. That covers all of them. And verse 5, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence. This is a diligent thing, this relationship with Jesus Christ. When we talk about renovating our main room right here with the things that we share with you about what we have in mind, we're applying diligence to hear the voice of God, what He wants us to do. I want the Lord to connect the dots. You make the map. All we got to do is follow your lead. That's all we have to do. Very simple. So simple, intellect kind of stumbles and falls all over it. All we have to do is follow Him. Where He leads, I will follow.
I will follow you.
A lot of songs about following. Where He leads, I will follow. I'll go with Him. With Him. All the way. Not part of the way. Those old songs have some preaching in them, have some powerful things. Where He leads, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way, not part of the way. Amen. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. And verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are, once again, increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge, once again repeating that, of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the days go by, you're going to see all these other worldviews and philosophies of the world pressing against the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. The philosophies of the world are saying, we don't need you, Jesus, in our world. We don't need Israel. We don't want Israel to have the little tiny dot in the world that they have. They have no place on earth. We hate them. We want to decapitate them. We hate Israel. They have no room or any right to exist. And anybody that sides with Israel has no right to exist. This is a very powerful message coming against not only Israel, but the church, Judeo-Christian worldview. It's coming against also the church of Jesus Christ, the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you can stand up and speak the true knowledge of Jesus Christ wherever you may be, whether it's Iraq, Afghanistan, or right here in Tampa, wherever you may go, or back to Delaware. It doesn't matter where we are. When you stand up and speak the truth of Jesus Christ, there are antichrist forces out there that will not be readily receptive to that. However, there'll be many seeds sown that will be sown in fertile soil that do want to welcome that. So you can't determine who is and who isn't ready to receive the word of God or the seed of God. You just have to stand up and what? Share what God gives you to share to this world where you are. In your neighborhood, in your grocery store, at your gas station, in your classroom, at your workplace, in your truck, in your car, in the plane, on the bus, on the train, wherever you are God's child, downloaded with the true knowledge of Him, but also hungering for more downloading. Well, at least I am. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, really amen. Anybody say, really amen?
Amen.
That's better. I mean, you know, wave your hands and shout hallelujah all you want. Just don't whack your neighbor, you know, with what we were saying earlier about the banners. And it's just, we need to get excited about Jesus. And that's not just something that is just, you know, manifested by your arms and stuff. It comes from the heart. It's a shout from the heart. And to me, if these qualities are yours and are increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I gave my heart to Jesus back in December 71, January 72, I have not looked back. I've come a long way. I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn now. And standing before you at this pulpit, sharing a message to whomsoever's listening, I have a lot to learn. But I want to learn. I want to be open to what He has for me. And I need to be hungering and thirsting after that righteousness. I'm going to grow. I'm going to change. Do you ever go back to, I saw a program the other day, it kind of reminded me of a 10-year high school reunion or a 20-year high school reunion. Some people, I don't want to go back, I don't want to see them anymore. Or some people want to go back and just see what are people doing? You know, where are they? And some of them, you might look at them and say, hey, they're still stuck in the same old rut. Goofy Joe is still Goofy Joe. And little, you know, Happy Mary Sue is still Happy Mary Sue. But sometimes you go back and you see people. They've changed. Some have changed for the better. Some have given their heart to Jesus Christ. Some are just kind of stuck in a rut, still where they were. And so you see, gee, that was 10 years ago I graduated, or 20 years ago. And you go back and you say, gee, it can't be, because I'm looking at them, but they're also looking at you. You see in them, say, man, you put on a little extra pounds, or man, you're any way physical that you look at them, or gee, what happened to them? They were shy, now they're bold, and so and so was, gee, I thought he was going to be the biggest loser, and he's been the most prosperous in his business and all. People change, but they're looking at you too. And I hope they would see Jesus Christ in you. No matter what you go back to or what people see or wherever you go, may they see Jesus Christ in you. Not who you were. You are who you are now. And you also have a desire for it to increase. How many of you know God's grace has been shed upon you?
Amen.
Oh, man. Aunt Rosie, yeah. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. Amazing grace of God. And I want to share something with you that Oswald said concerning the grace of God. He had a lot of things to say about the grace of God. And I thank God for this brother that walked the walk of Jesus Christ. And he walked the talk. And he lived a life. And he had a lot of things to say in his journals. And they've all been recorded for different days. His wife took that task upon her and put down many things and shared many things with us about what Oswald said. But this one here has to do with grace. And please listen as I share with you here about some things about God's grace. And this is all based upon 2 Peter, what we just read. You have inherited the divine nature, says 2 Peter 1:4. Now, screw your attention down and form habits. Give diligence. Concentrate. How many of you know that is an effort? You have to, like he said, right, screw your attention down. Don't let it just fly anywhere. I mean, make sense out of this. If we were to come in here and just like, Mark brought his drill, and Drew, I don't know what you're gonna do, but I'm just gonna start drilling the stage because this is fun. I can zap these screws out of the stage and disassemble the stage because we're gonna do some renovations in here. So this is gonna be my thing. This is what I wanna do. Now you could do what you gotta do, and everybody just kinda doing their own thing. You gotta screw that attention down and make sense out of this, what we're gonna do. So we're getting a plan together how to do it. Regardless of what I might like to do, what somebody else might like to do, it needs to be cohesively approached. It needs to be done where we work together. And so we're going to do that. And so working together is a great way to screw things down and put our attention on what makes sense here. Especially screwing all of our scattered thoughts down and making sense out about what God wants to do here, not what we want to do. And so no man is born either naturally or supernaturally with character. He has to make character. That has to be developed over a period of time. You're going to have blood, you're going to have sweat, you're going to have tears. And you're going to be very sad sometimes. You're going to want to crawl on a rock and stay there. But one time, I shared this with you before, it is so powerful. Obviously, I haven't forgot it because I share it with you now and again. Somebody upset me one time in Ohio back on the farms, And we went to visit somebody else on their farm, and they upset me, so I wouldn't say to everybody there, I'm leaving, I'm upset, I'm leaving, so don't come after me. I there wasn't anything like that. I just snuck out. Somebody hurt me, so I snuck out. They didn't know where I was. I went down the road, about a half mile down the road. I climbed over a fence, and I went out in the field with grass about that high. I laid down in that field, in that high grass, to hide because I heard the car coming to find out where I went, over the gravel, the car traveling over the gravel and the crackling of the gravel, and we could hear cars a long ways off that way back in the country coming, not on a nice paved road, nice and quiet. So I heard them coming. I jumped over the fence. I went in the high grass. They stopped the car right out from where I was. Right out from where I was laying in the grass, and I heard them calling. It was like four or five of my family members, my sister, my brothers, mom and dad might have been there too. Mark, 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 where are you? Where are you? I stayed there. I didn't stand up. I didn't come. Mark, where are you? We're going to leave. Mark, where are you? And man, they hit. God knows where we are. God knows where we're laying down, where we're trying to hang out and hide. He knows where we are, and He's going to call us because He wants to build character. And if you're going to say, God, not now, I'll build character later. Now's the time to stand up and to be found. Now is the time to be rescued, not to lay down and hide. You can run, but you cannot hide from God. And I tell you, it gets me chills right now as I say it to you. The most powerful thing that happened after that, after they called, they quit calling. I stayed there, and the car doors began to close. All four of them. Choo, 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 choo. And every single one of those was like, choo, 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 choo. Wow. They're serious. God ain't playing games either. There come the time when that ark was loaded, and God shut the door. That was it. But you know what? Today I'm here. I'm alive today as a recipient of God's grace. They shut the doors and they left. The car left. I was laying there in my stupor and all my pride. See, you didn't find me. Ha ha! Ha ha! And the old devil back then, into my stupidity and foolishness. Yeah, ha ha. What are you laughing about, you stupid? You dummy? They came to rescue you and you're still laying here in the grass. The joke's on you. But you see, I didn't receive it that way. I didn't have Jesus, that truth downloaded in me. Oh, I was conscious of right and wrong. I knew I was wrong. But I was going to show them it wasn't time for them to find me and for me to go with them, because that would mean they win. You see, that carries through your life. I'm going to win, not you. I win, you lose. And yet, in the reality of it, I lost. Mm-hmm. They went home later on because I didn't like to be out there when it was dark. I'd be in the woods hunting when it got dark. My feet began to get a little bit faster to go home when it got dark. The trees, the owls, and the shadows. I didn't want to be there. I want to be home. So when it got darker, in this case, laying in them tall grass, is about a mile away. I walked home, and guess what? It wasn't disastrous. They all loved to see me. Where were you? What happened? And I was glad to be home. God's been gracious to me. Growing up, learning things, and He uses all that stupid stuff that I did now for the good, because it's memory, but I'm going to use it for the glory of God. And share with you today about something that happened to me so many years ago when I was 10 or 11, that it could be used in a good way, because God wants us to not take His grace in vain. When the Lord stops and when the Lord calls and you're in a stupor, then you need to say, yes, Lord, what are you saying to me? You're very proud. You're egotistical. You want to do it your way. You want to run. You want to hide. And it's either your way or the highway. Well, it's the opposite way. It's either God's way or the highway. But in a lot of times in our pride, it's our way or the highway. So you will gain nothing by hiding. and not receiving the rescue of the Lord in any given situation. How many of you can relate to what I'm saying? Maybe you didn't run in the grass, but you ran to your room. Or you went to the playhouse. Or I don't know, you went down the street, you kicked a little dirt and you threw some rocks, or you went down to the lake. You just wanted to get away. How many of you ever want to just get away? Away. But they're not pushing you away, you just want to get away. You've had it. Linda tells a story. One day she had it in school. She got to the gate right here, about ready to go down North Rome Circle here. That's how far she got. She came back. She had it. You ever been there? God is graceful. If you want to know what grace is, look at yourself. Look in the mirror and you're looking at grace. And that's all because Jesus was full of grace and truth. And He's given it to us. He's given it to us. That's awesome. Now, if you say, I don't want it, that's not good. He's got the car parked. He's yelling, Helen, Ted, Shirley, Kathy. He's yelling loud and clear. You can lay down in that grass and hide, or you can get on board the glory train. Wow. We are not born with habits. We have to form habits on the basis of the new life God has put in us. We are not meant to be illuminated versions, but the common stuff of ordinary stuff exhibiting the marvel of the grace of God. Ordinary, every day. Linda came over the other day and she had Thanksgiving dinner with us. My dear sister Linda. My dear sister Linda was getting ready to leave and we had a ceramic dish. Just getting ready to leave. She dropped the ceramic dish and guess what? When ceramic hits a tile floor, what happens?
It breaks.
Now you can say, I'm not really ready for this, Linda. You know, why are you dropping a ceramic dish on this floor for us and you and everybody else to clean up? There's splinters everywhere. What are you doing? Like she was doing something. Well, put the foot. Put it on. Reverse it. Mark, what are you doing? Why are you breaking that? Why are you breaking my heart? Why are you shattering things? I have to stand here and help clean it up. It goes beyond a dish. So Linda really could not examine. She can assume that when I bend my knees to go get the vacuum out of the washroom to go vacuum it up and all that kind of sweep it up, she could assume I'm doing it with a pure heart. Maybe I'm not. It's not for her to be the MRI or the CAT scan or the X-ray. God sees it. See, there's where God wants to prove character, right there at that doorway with that splinter dish when everybody's ready to go home. Goodbye. We had a great time. Crash. What are you going to do? See, God knows the difference whether you clean it up with a pure heart or a half-crazed heart or just an aggravated heart.
God also knows maybe if it was going to be right on his stomach later, 2 hours later.
What, honey?
God also knows if it was going to be, if it was not going to be maybe right on her stomach, you know.
This was empty.
Oh, it was
empty.
Yeah.
My dish, his floor.
Yeah. We do that as adults. We make mistakes. It wasn't really anything intended. It just slid off. It's just totally innocent. Things happen. There's no crime. There's no sin. But it could have been on my part. It could have been on her part. She could have let out a whatever. Not a very pleasant thing. Oh, blah, blah, blah. But she's not there. She doesn't live that way. I know that. But it doesn't excuse her from ever being the possibility of being angry. Do you know what I'm talking about? We need to kneel in humility no matter what's around us. We are not to be illuminated versions, but the common stuff of ordinary life exhibiting the marvel of grace of God. Drudgery is the touchstone of character. Anybody care to explain that? Drudgery is the touchstone of character. Anyone want to comment on that? Drudgery is the touchstone of character. What does that mean to you?
Would that tell you that actually God is building character on you?
Well, he's building character, but on what? What's drudgery?
On the common things of the day.
Exactly. Exactly. Sometimes we just go on life and we think, okay, I mean, you know, you did your thing, whatever you have done. But I mean, we all know that God has really big plans. And the little things that you think that it does not matter, those are the little things that He will just on you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Little things in your life are very big in the sight of God. If you cannot keep up with the footman, don't think about keeping up with the horses or the mules.
Amen.
That's scripture. If you can't keep up with the footman, don't worry about keeping up with the horses. You can't do it. It's the little things. The great hindrance in spiritual life is that we will look for big things to do. Jesus took a towel and began to wash the disciples' feet. Wow, what a lesson of humility. There are times when there is no illumination and no thrill, but just the daily round, the common task. Me? Vacuum this carpet? Me? You, not me. And what attitude do we have when we're vacuuming or cleaning bathrooms or whatever? Routine is God's way of saving us between our times of inspiration. Wow. We're almost done here. Do not expect God always to give you His thrilling minutes, but learn to live in the domain of drudgery by the power of God. If I was Drew and I was picking out a group of men to do something that is going to be very important and they need to really be on the same page, I would pick guys who have a track record of being responsible. Maybe not the biggest, maybe not the strongest, or the deepest blue eyes, or whatever, but somebody who has a track record of being responsible. Little girl the other day was trying to be responsible. This happened in Tampa. She missed the bus. 4-lane road. The bus was looping around and coming back the other way. She says, I'll run across the road. I'll catch the bus because I have perfect attendance and I don't want to miss perfect attendance. The little things make a difference. To her, it made a difference to be there every day. She comes back across the road trying to catch the bus. A young lady hit her and killed her. She was like 15, I think. Devastated the person that hit her. Couldn't avoid it. It was dark. It's in the morning. You know how dark it is in the morning meeting these buses. Little girl was darting to catch the bus because she missed it. Had not missed a day of school. Darted in front of a car. A young lady hit her and killed her. Tragedy for both families. It is the adding that is difficult. Adding. Add to your faith. You see, we read that already in 2 Peter. We say we do not expect God to carry us to heaven on flowery beds of ease. And yet we act as if we did. The tiniest detail in which I obey has all the omnipotent power of the grace of God behind it. The tiniest detail has all the omnipotent power of the grace of God behind it when you obey the Lord. If I do my duty, not for duty's sake, but because I believe God is engineering my circumstances, whether in Afghanistan or here, then at the very point of my obedience, the whole super grace of God is mine through the atonement. Obedience is everything. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, how many of you know a little bit about his story? His dad was a captain, and he worked his way up. He was also thrown off ships because of the deplorable conditions and the brutality that he received. John Newton was involved as a ship captain and was also carrying slaves. Although he treated, when he has an experience, he continued transporting slaves, but he treated them with humane practices. After he had come to the Lord, after a while, he got out of it completely. But John Newton This is amazing. Just a brief thing about him. It says, although he had some early religious instruction from his mother, who had died when he was a child, he had long since given up any religious convictions. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. However, on a homeward voyage, while he was attempting to steer the ship through a violent storm, he experienced what he was to refer to later as his great deliverance. He recorded in his journal that when all seemed lost and the ship would surely sink, he exclaimed to the Lord, he cried out to the Lord, God, have mercy upon us. Evidently, he was thinking more of himself. Lord, have mercy upon me. Bartimaeus cried out what? Because that was Bartimaeus. Lord, have mercy on me, thou son of David. And Jesus looked at him and he said, what do you want? He said, I'm blind. I want to see. And Jesus healed him. Was impressed with his faith. But he didn't stop because they told him to shut up. Here, John Newton, out on the sea, about to go down, he said, Lord, have mercy on us. Later in his cabin, he reflected on what he had said and began to believe that God had addressed him, God had spoke to him through the storm, and that grace had begun to work for him. I mean, he just melted. How many of you in here know that you have been a recipient of God's grace?
Amen.
Rosie, 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 Rosie. A person that I have learned here in this body, those of you who may be listening to this message, is an aunt of two people in our body today and a sister of another person here in our audience. And she has gone on to be with the Lord. That's a story of amazing grace. No more pain, no more heartbreak and heartache and all the things that she was going through in her illness. She wanted to go on to be with the Lord, and that's where she is. I thank God for the rest of that story that we know where she is. Amazing grace. We're going to sing it here in just a moment. We're going to sing Amazing Grace, a very powerful version of Amazing Grace. And different verses to it, but I want to share this with you. And think of John Newton, think of Bartimaeus, think of Rosie, my mother who's gone on to be with the Lord. And at her funeral, at her time, then we were praising God when she passed away. We sang "Give Me Jesus," and it's a very powerful song. And the last thing about "Give Me Jesus," it says, when I come to die, give me Jesus. When I wake up in the morning, it begins to say, but it ends up by saying, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. Wow. And God bless you as you reflect upon these messages today. Wherever you are, I pray that you will find a way to receive the amazing grace of God through Christ Jesus, and you do not delay. Do not delay to make that your choice, because to deny Jesus Christ is to accept eternal death. To accept Him is to accept and welcome eternal life, eternity with Him. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. in Romans 10:9, if you will confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. In Acts 4:12, there is no other name that has been given under heaven to men by which we can be saved. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. God bless you.